Thank you, thank you. How are you doing today? Okay, love not the world. Let's continue. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me know when you are there. Amen. Are you there? Okay, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know, the translators, they were very careful. I thought they would have said all scripture are given, but they say it's given to further emphasize that the entire scripture, that they have a singular focus, salvation through faith in Christ. So also, he said so, therefore he said all scripture is not, didn't say are given, say it's given. Thank you. Okay, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen. Amen. So, let me wait a bit there. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, the job of the preacher is actually a very patient one. The job of the preacher is a very, like, patient one. It's not hasty. See, our job is a patient one. Even at times when we have a shortcut to use, when there is a shortcut that presented itself to us in ministry, we don't use it. We must not use it. We must rely upon God's method. Like I've told you in the initial stages of this church that it's only with God's method that we can get God's results. It's only with God's method. God will not only tell you go to Kaduna, He will tell you the way to take to Kaduna. And trust me, if you pass another way apart from God's recommended way, trust me, you will never arrive at Kaduna. You may arrive at another city that is nicknamed Kaduna, but you never arrive at God's Kaduna. You understand that? That means until we pass through God's process, we don't arrive at God's intended destination. Until we pass through God's process, we don't arrive at God's intended destination. For instance, some people expect that a church like this, oh, they say they are 2 years old, they ought to have been big, mega, by now. Well, it's a patient one. Some people expect that, oh, by now, every saint in this church, they have been here in the church, the world, this long, they ought to have become like a personal encounter of them. Well, the job is a patient one. Amen? Why? Because our tool of ministry is persuasion, not coercion. It's persuasion. Even to saints, we persuade. Even in our instruction, we get persuade. The tool is persuasion. Persuasion. Say persuasion. Say not coercion. That means you don't force people, you don't, it's persuasion. That's all the tool of God. Now, go to verse 15 of that 2 Timothy 3. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So he said he has known the scriptures. He is accustomed with what is in there. He is used to it. He has known it. Gnosko, I think, he has known the scripture. He is accustomed to what is in the scripture. He is used to it. Then to ask yourself that question, are you used to the content of the scripture? Are you used to it? He's used to it. He understands the grammar. He's used to it. Amen? So, the question is, why must he be used to the scripture? Why must we truly know what is there? It's because that book, that graphic, it has a unique duty. That grape, that Bible in your hand, it has a duty. It has a duty. Remember, I was talking to the Jews. He said, you guys, we know that you have the oracles of God. You have approved the things that are excellent. Although the natural man, by his own accord, can search out God, but in the scripture is the express communication of God. Express communication. So, see 2 Timothy 3:16 again. Now said, all scripture. This is why you must be used to the grammar. Because the graphe is given by the inspiration of God, the graphe is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the entire document must be labored on for learning. Just pay attention, just follow me today. The entire book, okay, we must labor on it for learning. Learning, that is doctrine there. Okay, that's the didaskalia. Yes. So we must labor on it for learning. We must bring out the profit in the Bible and we learn. Don't forget, he said it is profitable. That means it's not copy and paste. It's not I see, I do. It's not that. It's not saying you do everything you have seen in the scripture, but you labor on it, you bring out that profit. That profit is the doctrine. Amen? Praise God. So if you combine verse 16 and verse 15 together, you will discover that the profit in the book can be seen as salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. Because in reading all the graphe, we will realize that the grammar is about salvation through faith in Christ. That is the learning. Let me say that again. In reading all the entire graphe, we will discover that the entire grammar is what? Is about salvation through faith in Christ. Please, I'm not just repeating myself on this really. Pay attention to everything. Pay attention. Amen, amen. So that's what you will discover. Okay. Why? Because that is a profit we must get from the scriptures. Salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation through faith in Christ. That's the profit. That is the profit. So, our doctrine is as touching salvation through faith in Christ. Now said, profitable for doctrine, now for reproof. So, we are going to use salvation through faith in Christ as reproof. Let me say it again. Salvation through faith in Christ is our doctrine. We are going to use the same salvation through faith in Christ as what? As reproof. What is reproof there? That is evidence, right? That should be elekos, something like that in Greek. Elekos. So, as evidence. So, if I want to give evidence as touching God, I will use salvation through faith in Christ as evidence. Now, see the next word for reproof. Reproof is evidence. Next word is correction. I will use salvation through faith in Christ to correct. That means we use that same doctrine, that learning, we use it to correct. Sorry, I know I'm saying a lot of things. Just try and follow me. You will understand very soon. So we will use that same doctrine to correct. We will use that same doctrine, like I said earlier, as evidence. Then we use that same salvation through faith in Christ to instruct in righteousness. I will recap again. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Okay? The profit in the scripture is what? Salvation through what? Faith in Christ. So, we are going to use salvation through faith in Christ as what? As doctrine. So, what is doctrine? Learning, right? So, that means our learning will strictly be what in the Bible? Salvation through faith in Christ. What if I want to give evidence for something? If you want to give evidence as touching God, what will I use as evidence? Salvation through faith in Christ. Funny enough, if I want to correct somebody, if I want to correct a believer, what will be the tool of my correction? Salvation through faith in Christ. Now, if I want to instruct somebody in righteousness, okay, will I just do it the way we do it in school? No, I will yet use salvation through faith in Christ. Exactly. Thank you. So, we don't correct a believer like we do to a prisoner. As for instance, we don't correct a believer like we do to a prisoner out there. We correct a believer with his reality in Christ. With his reality. E.g., 1 Corinthians 3:16. See this. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelt in you? Now, 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God what? Destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What is he talking about? Let's backtrack to verse 9, the first. So he's saying that if anybody defile the temple of God, him will shall God destroy. And if the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Look, the topic again is love, not the word. This is series 2, verse 2. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's what? Husbandry. You are God's building. Oh. That means he's comparing the believer with what those temples in the Old Testament. And the same way, like I told you lastly, that the temples in the Old Testament, they take care of it dutifully, right? And if anybody offers a strange fire, or you do something in the temple that you are not told to do, that is not according to pattern, what will happen then? There will be destruction. There will be judgments. So he's now saying believers right now is the reality of that temple. That temple is only a shadow. The temple really describes who? The believer. Are you with me? Are you with me? The temple describes the believer. The temple describes the believer. So let me keep reading. According to the grace of God, that is 1 Corinthians 3:10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now see verse 12. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This is a lot. One day we are going to explain this fire here, that the fire that will try every man's work. Is it just talking about in heaven, or is it talking about on earth? Can we relate this with the storms, the wind, and the flood in Matthew 7? Later we're going to see that. Okay, verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. Okay, but if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. That is the destruction in verse 17. He will suffer loss. Please, if you don't know that, please write that down. If you are wondering that how will God destroy people, the destruction is that the guy will lose his reward. He will lose his reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Don't forget in the teaching ministry of Jesus, verse 16, we discussed about false prophets, false doctrine, and that if a believer preaches false doctrine, what will happen to him? He will lose his reward, right? But if an unbeliever preaches false doctrine, what will happen? It's the same consequence of his unbelief. Catch up with him. That's the exact word. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1 now. So this question, why must I not attend to unwholesome doctrine? Why? From where we have read, why must I not? No, in the Old Testament, the temple cannot speak, right? Hello? Come on, heads up. Okay, let me finish. Let me wait for you. Finish writing. It's compulsory, you get me. That's why I'm starting early today. Mr. Bookie, hope you have prayed more than 20 hours this month. Have we? And today is 31st. And the rapture will stand in how many hours time? I'm serious. So this month, we're going to double up. We have a target of 40. Is that clear? Is that okay? So enjoy your attending, Pastor Joel. We have 40 hours target by August. And now we're going to do it. That means let's do some 12 stretch. That 12 stretch, then that remains small. So Monday's video will resume very soon. We must pray. Still, we must pray. If we have not prayed, we have not prayed. That's the point. Thank you. So 40 August. Where are we? Okay, I was saying something. I want to explain something to you. So now, the temple in the Old Testament, can it talk? No, the temple can only receive influence, right? It can only receive people who are taking care of it. But now he's saying that temple is a believer. The believer, does he have a choice? Can he choose the doctrine that comes to him? Hello? No, the temple in the Old Testament, that's why it's not a perfect comparison. It cannot It doesn't have a say, right? It's just an animate object, just gold, silver, wood, everything, altar, everything, just tabernacles. But in the reality, the temple is not deaf and dumb. The temple can talk, it can decide. So therefore, I'm now asking you a question. Why must you not give yourself to unwholesome doctrine? Hello? Just feel free from what I've just taught. It's simple now. Why must I not give myself to unwholesome doctrine? Same thing. No, I'm not a believer too. As a believer, amen. Why must a believer not give himself to unwholesome doctrine? What did I first finish explaining in 2 Timothy 3:16? That we are going to use salvation through faith in Christ as what? Learning, as reproof, as correction, as instruction, right? That means anything, if they ask you a question, for instance, I'm still coming there. If they ask you, like I said some time ago, that why are you living morally okay? Should your answer be, yes, now that's how my mother trained me. Should that be your answer? What should be your answer? I belong to God, right? That means you use your reality in Christ to respond to that question. So I'm asking the same question. Why must you not give yourself to an awesome doctrine from here? I'm the temple of God. Simple. Amen. That means my response must contain my reality. That's what I'm saying. Don't say because I don't like him. Don't say because I don't like that preacher. Thank you. So, now, doctrine, does it affect the body or the mind? The mind, right? So, in the context of that First Corinthians 3, that's why you must be careful the way you interpret scripture. That means temple of God in 1 Corinthians 3 refers to the mind of the believer. But it's the mind of the believer that can be given to false doctrine. But by the time we get to 1 Corinthians 6 right now, you discover that temple of God there refers to what? To where? To the body of the believer. In 1 Corinthians 3, the temple of God will refer to the mind of the believer. Your mind is God's own. He has purchased your mind too. Romans 12, you renew your mind. Thank you. Now, 1 Corinthians 5 now, verse 1. So, it is a redemptive concept. The mind of the believer must be free from false doctrines. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1 now, it is reported commonly, see that word, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. So, you can see this, that, you know, some people say that it is the grace message that is causing this. Hope you are seeing that this is not grace message. This is man. It's because of man. Like, man looking for anchors to stabilize themselves in rebellion. Please write that down. When you are seeing sins, don't be quick to accuse the message as a reason for sins. No. Sin is simply men looking for anchors to stabilize themselves in rebellion. Anchors. 1 Corinthians 5:2 now. And you are puffed up, and you have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. So it was so bad that the church was saying, yes, go for it, take another one. Don't worry, father, go and marry the second wife of the father. Go and marry the third wife. Like, it was that bad. That was Paul's church, amen? Say Paul's church. No, that's serious. So you see, we are not that too bad in this age, amen? That's apostle portion. Some people will say homosexuals started in one prison in America. You are so deluded. Go and ask Lot. Amen. Okay. You are just asking 1 Corinthians what? Says, as you are writing, you are opening. Amen, amen. So 5:3 now. 5:3. You are writing. That's a skill. You are writing, you are opening, and you are not missing anything. Thank you. 5:3. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present where? In the spirit, I have judged already as though I was present concerning him that has done such deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Amen? So, in Paul's figure of speech here, he puts an uncertainty to the fact that this brother is born again. Rather than. In Paul's figure of speech here, that figure of speech you are seeing in verse 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan, is putting an uncertainty to the fact that this brother is born again. I will explain. Just follow me. Just follow me today. See verse 11. But now, go to verse 11, you see. He is putting an uncertainty to the fact that the brother is born again. That means Paul is saying something like, and you call yourself a Christian. Amen. And it's Pastor Yenka's epic sermon. Okay, 5 verse 11. Are you there? Yeah, are you there? Come on. I'm not talking again. Are you there? Verse 11. Good. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a what? But or a what? Covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. So go see in that verse 5. Go back to verse 5. To deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are seeing the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not talking about heaven. See chapter 6. See, go to 2 Corinthians 6, the first, verse 1. I'm explaining a lot of things today. I read verse 1, you read verse 2 for me. Thank you. When we then, as workers together with him, beseech you that also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 2, want to go? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of hallelujah. So we are saying day. No, let's use it to refer to the rapture. So he's not saying that this brother is saved but might not make heaven. That's not what he's saying. But what Paul is saying is the proof of salvation here is that the man will yield to correction. The proof of salvation is that the man will yield to correction after being rebuked. That's the proof of salvation, is that he will yield to correction after being rebuked. Now go to verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 5. Be slower so everybody can write and open. First Corinthians 5, verse 6. Okay, your glory. Can you see that word? Glory. That means this is like the old church said, yes. Wow. Capture that. You understand? So it's not a silent thing. So your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little what? Leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. So let me ask you a question. So why must I separate myself from men given to sensuality? From men given to pornography? From guys that all they talk about is the last girl they are able to collaborate. From men that has a career in drinking. From men that all they talk about is armor. See verse 7. I will explain. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. See verse 7, still talking about the mind of the believer, influence. Say influence is real. That means if you have a rebellious fellow as a friend, as a close partner, you are most likely going to be influenced. Say influence. Influence is big, right? You know, we have discussed that under understanding Genesis, right? It's a big issue. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Purge out therefore. Okay, sorry. Let me wait for you. Sorry. Thank you. 5 verse 7. Okay, look at your Bible. Come on. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. Oh, again. Please read again. Purge out therefore the what? Old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Oh, John, let's explain this. Where is this from? Rush to Exodus 12, verse 9. Of course, it's a long read, but I've just read from verse 9 to 11. Talking about the Passover. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his leg, and with the pulpenness thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning, and that which remaineth of it on the morning you shall burn with fire. 11, and thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staffs in your hand, and shall eat it in days. It's the Lord's Passover. The instructions are more, but hold on. Come back to 1 Corinthians 10. Yep. Thank you. So, it is a custom of the Jews, okay? Previous to the Passover, they will search out their houses. I'm explaining something to you. They will search their house previous to the Passover in the most diligent manner. Before every Passover, you know, Passover is a feast of the Jews, right? Which some people are doing today as Holy Communion, which people are not serious. Sorry. But it's a custom, the custom of the Jews previous to the Passover, to search their what? Houses in the most diligent manner for the old leaven, and they will throw it out. So that is one thing that the Jews do before the Passover. It has a meaning. Like, they do it very diligently. They will purge all their houses of leavened bread. Sorry, who knows the difference between leavened and unleavened bread? Who knows? Who has seen before? Any Catholic priesthood? Sir, one has yeast, right? One. Okay. Now, come, let me explain further. Now, he later said Jesus is our Passover. And he sacrificed for us. So, what is the old leaven? Should I explain this here? Hold on, hold on. Okay, let's do it. So, what is the old leaven? Okay. The old leaven talks about the body of Jesus that was crucified. The body, it talks about his death. His death. And in the reality, in the unleavened, let me say unleavened and something like that, is resurrection. So we are the body, we are the bread, we are unleavened. Please write this down this way. We are the body of Christ, we are the bread, and we are unleavened. I will explain. See 1 Corinthians 10, 16. Just slowly, just hold on. Just follow me. 10, 16. We have studied the Passover a time ago. Some people will be writing stuff on it soon. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. Let's read 16 and 17 slowly together. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17 slowly together. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 17. For we being many are one bread, hallelujah, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Okay? So let me explain again. So when you see leaven, leaven means sin, comma. 2, it means the old man. 3, it means the body of the crucified Christ. 4, it means sinful men. Leaven refers to sin. It's figurative for the old man, figurative for the body of the crucified Christ, also figurative of sinful men. So when you see unleavened refers to the new creation and the resurrected Jesus. Don't forget, in verse 17, he said we are one bread. The one bread we are is not the bread that was broken. It's the bread that cannot be broken. There are two breads right now. One was broken, referring to the body of Jesus that was crucified. The unbroken one, right? Which is the unleavened. Are you with me? Refers to the body of Jesus that cannot be broken. That is, Jesus raised again after the power of an endless life. Knowing his resurrection, he cannot die again. I know I'm saying a lot of things. I'm sorry. Let's follow. So, come back to 1 Corinthians 5 now, verse 8. Sorry. I'll do my best. 1 Corinthians now 5 verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Are you there? Thank you. Slowly, let's read now slowly. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of what? Sincerity and truth. Amen? So that means in the new creation, you will find sincerity and truth. In the leavenness, you will find malice and wickedness. That is leaven versus unleavened right now. So, Paul was interpreting another essence of the Passover, separation from sinful men. Let's write that down. Paul was interpreting to us another essence of the Passover, which is what, sirs? Which is what? Separation from sinful men. From sinful men. Amen, amen. Because they are sources of influence. So guess what? You know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say since. So now, Paul wants to tell you that, Mr. Buki, stop working with that spirit girl. What did he use? What did he use to tell you? The leavenity? Sir? Thank you. He used the same salvation through faith in Christ. So he used the same reality of what? Salvation to tell them that because you are already on level, that means he's not correcting the believer outside Christ. Write that down. Never correct a believer outside Christ. You just become a school teacher. You just become a disciplinarian. You just become a coach. Never correct a believer outside Christ. Because the reason you are even telling him to conduct himself correctly is for Christ. Not even for morality. It's for Christ. Thank you. Chapter 5 verse 9 now. You know, we are young, right? I need to say this clearly. We are young and even me with the badge of a pastor, everything, you, because of where you work, where you trade, where you do things, you don't work alone, right? You don't do things alone. There is a reality of influence. Things you are not used to doing before, due to the environment you are, there is a reality of influence. Pretty sure university days, NYSC has destroyed a lot of lives. I'm very certain. Some people never think of cohabiting before until NYSC, until school. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you, in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, nor with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, for them must you need to go out of the world. Let's read verse 11. But now, I have written unto you not to keep company. So verse 10 first told you that, okay, even the outsiders, right, they are no. Now he's not saying in verse 10, now said, now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is what? Called a brother. Can you see that? You know, initially I told you that Paul put an uncertainty to the fact that he is a believer. Do you remember? So he said, you know, in verse 11, now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. Let me explain those words for you, because at times we also look at this thing, we think they are far-fetched. For instance, that word fornicator there means a man who prostitutes his body. That's the meaning. A man who prostitutes his body. So somebody will now ask me, can I work for an establishment built on such? No. Let me say it again. Notice my grammar, no, okay? Can I work for an because all these things must be well trashed out. Can I work for an, well, some of you have, you know, job come, job go, it's everywhere you bounce. Can I work for an establishment based on immorality? No. But of course, if you now ask me, can I work? I'm not saying built by such men. Are you with me? An immoral man can own a bank, right? So his life is different from what he's telling you to do. Is that clear? So, but an establishment built on such? No. Say no. Next one is covetous. Covetous, it means somebody that is greedy of gain. A 419. A Yahoo boy. You can't be his secretary. You can't be his driver. That's worse. It's better to be jobless than vexing your righteous soul. Are you getting me? Don't be worldly. It's not every somebody. No, at times, like, me and my wife had that experience. Like, is it every job a believer can do? I could not really answer very well. Amen, amen. Praise God. So, an establishment built on 419. You can't work there. You know that how they make it in this office is by dubious things. And you say, well, me, my only job is to be preparing tea for them. That tea is repaired. That is what happened to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was not actually partaking of their sins, but he was just there for the money. What happened? I would say day by day, he was vexing his righteous soul. So even himself, he could not even preach to and win one soul. One. And at the end of the day, you know, he lost his property, lost everything. That's what there is, an idolater, which one, wherever. It means men that worship demons. Men that worship demons. That Greek word is serious. You don't pronounce it. Men that worship demons. The next one is a railer. R-A-I-L-E-A. A railer is an abusive man. A tout. Can I work in N-U-R-T-W? No. Of course, unless they are decent. Amen. But today they want to break somebody's butt, they need assistance. So guys, now you know I'm in Christ now, eh? I have been calling their money all this way. A tout. See, we love saying, well, salvation is of the heart. We know. We know. But this is also your reality in Christ. Praise God. Say, love not the world. Now, I know you have all the one I'm saying since now is okay. What of a drunkard? You have friends that they are given to it. When he's asking, is it right for a student to drink alcohol? Wrong question. Am I your chemistry teacher? Go and check all your drugs. What is inside? But a drunkard is clear. It's not two ways. Somebody given, that Greek word means, okay, intoxicated. Tipsy. You know of tipsy? Tipsy, is it soft or hard? That one's soft. Amen. I know if you have close friends that are drunkards. Let me see you. Feel free. One. Two people are fighting them. Amen. Influence is real. Yeah, we are cute. Like if anyone said, I talked to her the other time, she has not been smiling again. Eh? So if she has a tipsy friend now, what would she do after service?
Hello.
Praise God. Then we have extortioner. Now it's clear. That's a robber. I'm robber. That's clear. So Bible says, with such one, do not even eat. So the question is, if we have such person in the church, right? By the time and they are unrepentant, you know, we have talked to them gently. You know, Bible says you have an issue with somebody, first go to him, right? If he didn't hear you and him, take two people, right? Take his book, go to him, right? If he didn't hear this, tell the church, help me to talk to fair use. Nobody. Amen. Let me talk to a mayor now. And if he did not hear the whole church, what did Jesus said? Treat him like what? An infidel. How do you treat him like an infidel? That is what Paul is now explaining. Don't eat with him. That is the meaning of deliver him unto what? Satan. That means withdraw fellowship. That deliver unto Satan. Satan is not anywhere. It's figurative. Are you with me, brethren? So if we withdraw association, and if truly he is a believer, what will he do? He will repent. So let me say it again. When we withdraw, when we ask someone like that heavily in the church, one of two things will happen. If we withdraw our association, if he is truly a believer, he will repent. Because a believer will value relationship with one another, with the saints, more than his appetite. But if he's not a believer, he will pack his load, he will go. Say, because a believer will value his relationship with other saints more than his appetite. But if we correct him and he's not a believer, what will he do? He will leave. And that will be good news, because he will not be able to influence others wrongly. Imagine Ananias and Sapphira. Of course, you know, I am not in support of the death of Ananias and Sapphira. But imagine if they are in a church like that. What will they be doing? They have lied to the man of God, and nobody knew. They'll be instigating rebellion. All these people, don't mind them. All this is fake. You know, I brought through, I told them they didn't do anything. But of course, Peter would have just used word of knowledge and everything to just clarify things, not word of death, no. Oh. No, that's bad. Thank you. Chapter 5, verse 12. For what have I to do them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? Verse 13. But them that are without, who judge? God judges. You know the meaning of that? Who can interpret that? I've explained for you before. Yes. How will God judge them? Amen. They will receive the physical consequence of their action. Okay? So that is the meaning of God judges. They will receive the physical consequence of their action. Write it down this way. It will be man's actions, man's consequence, but God's judgments. Man's actions, man's consequence, but God's judgment. That means it will be termed God's judgment, but it's both man's cause and effect. Don't forget that. So he now said, therefore, put away from among yourself that wicked person. Chapter 6, verse 1. So, sorry, I said man's actions, man's consequence, but God's judgment. chapter 6, verse 1. If any of you having a matter against another, go to the Lord before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? So, by saying the saints shall judge the world, what has he brought in already? Our reality. Amen? Our reality, right? So, he wants to tell you that sacrifice, stop taking part of it, get to court. What did he use? Huh? He's saying, guys, don't you know, why are you going before unjust? In your sonship, you will judge the world yourself. So we use our reality for everything. See verse 3. Know you know that you shall judge angels? How much more things that are pertinent to this life? If then you have judgment of things pertinent to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. What is missing there? Edify and assembly. What is missing in verse 4? Hey, I've explained. No. What is explained? Somebody talk. Come on. Somebody has said it now. Question. Are you with me? Who says we do that? Who can remember? Oh, Jesus. He's saying, are you trying to set them to judge who are what? Least esteemed in the church? It's a question. See verse 5. I speak to your what? To your shame. Simple. So that was missing. That question mark was missing there. Okay. Is it so that there is not, can you see this? Everything is a question. There is not a wise man among you. Do you get this now? Do you get me now? Am I too fast? Yeah. Amen. Okay. Thank you. No, not one that shall be able to judge his brother. Question mark. But brother goes to love with brother. And that before who? The unbelievers. Now, therefore, there is alternately a fault among you, because you go to the law with one another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? There you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither what fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, let's read together, yes? And such were some of you. But what has happened to you? But you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he used their reality again to correct their conduct. He said, guys, don't say, although you are once like that, but this thing has happened to you. In fact, they are still like that. But he said, hey, all these things are your previous reality, not your current reality. Say, you guys, you have been washed, you have been sanctified, you have been justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our Lord. So the first duty, your first responsibility to a believer you see in unrepentant sin, what should you do? Teach him again his reality. Love the tool of God. Use God's tool for God's work. The first thing is not to take him to social media. Use his reality to talk to him. Salvation through faith in Christ is given for correction. Is given for correction. 6 verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. How will God do it? Hey, you guys, are you serious? You want to write God's word and God's actions? Oh God. How? No, Pastor Joy is she's seeing your weak point now. Eh? Amen, amen. How did God destroy them? Come on, speak now. It's simply a figure of speech, okay? To say appetites are not eternal. That's all. You know what? Yeah, to put it. Okay. So appetites are not eternal. It's because of the body, right? Right? appetites is the result of the human body. So if all you live for is to give your body to what it demands, you are sensual. Let me say it again. If all you live for is to give your body what it demands, that has been sensual. When you live for this, you live to please yourself. Loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, pride of life. When you live for that, you are being sensual. Because I'm not saying don't eat nice things or don't marry, but don't forget, none of this is eternal. So all these lower appetites and such sensations shall be destroyed by death. They are not eternal. They will have no existence in the resurrection body. Amen, amen. Now, let's keep. Okay. That's right. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and Lord for the body. Say my body. He is the Lord's. 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. God hath both raised up the Lord, will also what? Raise us up by his own what? Power. Can you see that? Now he's talking about our immortality, right? Because to tell you that what he's talking about before is mortality. How will God destroy all those ones? That is just the consequence of mortality. It's not God's action. It's mortality. Are you with me? Are you with me? Is it God that kills people? Even small mosquito can kill people. So why would God do that? No. God will not have a job to be killing. Mosquito can do it. Okay, so now he's telling you that although your body is mortal, don't forget it has been purchased already. As I said, God, he will raise us up by his own power. Although our body is mortal, it has been purchased. So don't say, hey, but since the body will be destroyed, I can use this anyhow. No, that same body, it has been purchased. It will be raised. As I didn't think that if you are short right now, I didn't think your resurrection body will be taller. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, yeah. Right now. Okay. Sorry. Amen. See, my body is already God's own. And that's why he used your body to use it now. Amen. Say, God, use my body. So we are going to use our reality to teach the use of our body in honor. We use that reality to teach us. To teach us to use it in honor. So what we are reading since is not heaven and hell matter. They are saints and our in Christ sanity matter. What we are reading since is not about heaven and hell. It's about saints and our in Christ sanity matter. You need to consider an unbeliever in or a believer that has all those characteristics in marriage is foolish thinking. It's very foolish thinking. Let me say it again. To consider an unbeliever or a believer that has one of those things I will mention, to consider him in marriage, it's just you are not thinking very well. Praise God. Praise God. And even as singles, see, those touching, petting from sensual friends, it should irritate you. You're looking at me like, ah. It will irritate you. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Somebody is always sending you love notes on WhatsApp every day. Love notes, love ear, love tongue. And say, oh, No. Money must not be strong enough to lure you. Verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. Money must not be strong enough to lure you. Avoid time wasters. Say, love not the world. Verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Can you see? Remember, we are one bread, right? So these members of Christ is talking about the resurrected Christ. Remember? Do you remember? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. 16. What? Know you not that he that is joined to an harlot is what? One body. For two said it shall be one flesh. 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. You can see our reality again. Now saying in verse 18, flee fornication. Everything that is a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. 19. What? Know you not that your body is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Verse 20. Slowly, want to go. Let's read. But with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So allow your reality to direct your life. That's what I'm saying since. Allow your reality to direct your life. Allow your reality to direct your life. If you are tired of salvation, God cannot correct you again. If you are tired of salvation, God cannot instruct you again. If you are tired of salvation, if you are tired of hearing about salvation, God cannot make you better again. You can't grow again. You have stopped growing. You may grow in morality, but not in Christ. That's serious. You may grow in morality. And you may even grow in conduct, not in Christ. Never get tired of salvation. Matthew 13, 19. Thank you for following. Matthew 13, 19. So that is why you must take heed to the word of God. You must meditate, think over who you are in Christ. Meditate, think over it. The good works that we do as Christians, they are for Christ's sake, not for self's sake. Not for self's sake, they are for Christ's sake. That's the good works we do. They are for Christ's sake, not for self, not for self. No, not for self. Matthew 13. Come on. Matthew 13, 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and casheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Amen? See, I must understand the word. So, don't be convenient with any teaching that you have not understood. Don't forget, this same doctrine is how God will correct you. Doctrine is what God will use to instruct you. Doctrine is how God will use to make you better in ministry, make you better as an husband, as a wife. Doctrine is how God is willing to help you. Doctrine is how God is ready to cause you to do his will. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So that means if I must appreciate doctrine, I must treasure it, I must not complain about it. If I don't understand it, I will waylay the man of God. Not with guns, amen? So, like for instance, in your school, when a topic is not clear, what will you do? Tutorial, night class, textbook, key point, extra book. You are meet the epicos, the hilarious of the class. Come and explain to me, right? Praise God. The same attitude and much more we should give to God's word. Say God's word deserves more. See, I have a belief actually. The world's academic system should actually learn from the church. Not the other way. Oh God. The world's academic system should learn from our devotion to the word. Which one started first now? University or discipleship? That's the point. They are the ones to learn from us. Under cost of discipleship, I was saying that the military should learn from, they are the ones to learn from the order in the church. Amen? Are you with me? Military should learn, not the other way. So they should see us devoted so much. Oh God. So what we are doing, for instance, in this place is not, please don't miss Saturday. I mean, we are not aware. Saturday, we are going to be here all day from 7 a.m. Because Friday, we will be here too. God needs your life, right? Your very life. Not all night from Friday, but we have to do some things Friday evening. For Saturday, 7. When I say 8, no, you want to wash clothes before you come. You know what happens anytime you want to wash clothes, right? You don't see a stain of cashew somewhere. I think you will not go quickly. Now, keep giving God, Jesus extra time. So please, I have a lot to teach you, and please don't miss it. Just help me. Don't miss it. I have a lot. If you try me, I will try you on Sunday. I will preach till everybody is tired. Till everybody, some people just go. You know, when I preach by 3, you are still preaching. Until some people just go. Hey. Thank you. Trust me, I can do it. So, no, but we are nice, right? Say we are nice. Okay, Matthew 13, verse 20. So we should be leaders in this. We should be leaders in our devotion to the word. The church should lead. Verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise, small saying, look at your Bible. Why are you looking at Pastor Ezekiel? His wife is there. Amen. Praise God. Guess why he's looking at me. Okay. For a while, for when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is what? Offended. Say, I must practice the word. Say, I must practice the word. That's the point. You must practice the word. Do what you are told. Do as you are told. So there's one very rebellious way that people usually respond to God's word. You preach like this. So preach. After it's done, you say what? God, let's pray for grace. What is grace? Why are we sharing right now? Is it not grace? Is it disgrace? You don't need grace. Say, I can do God's word. Say, I'm not a forgetful error. Say, I'm a doer of the work. Amen, amen. Thank you. What is written in the epistles are things the new creation can do. There are things the new creation are capable of doing. God's instructions are not alien to us. God's instructions, they are not alien to us. What is written in the epistles are what you can do. If you saw that IG video I posted on Update Today, that's what she was saying. Like he said, the Ten Commandments, they are your makeup. There are things you can do. They are not things that you'll be begging God for grace. That's grace. You hear the word, you do the word. Say, I can do the word. Give me grace to just follow. That is a skillful way to say God. That is false humility.
God, you know I love the ministry. God, I would have gone to Kaduna, but give me your grace, Lord.
After 2 weeks, hey, Mr. Bookie, what is happening?
I'm still praying for grace.
Olé. Romans 6:16. We can do God's work. We are doers of the work. We are doers. We are doers. We are doers. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, is servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Amen? Say, I've obeyed. Say, I've obeyed. Say, that makes me a servant of righteousness. Let me read. See it again. 16 and 17. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, it's servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto what? Death, or of obedience unto what? Righteousness. But God be thanked. So he's saying, anyone you choose to obey, if you are obeying the promptings of unbelief, okay, but now you have obeyed righteousness. Now say in verse 17, God be thanked that you are. Say you are. Say past tense. So you are the servants of sin, but now you have. So now it's not there, but you have. Now you have obeyed from the earth that form of doctrine. Amen. That's salvation, right? Which was delivered you. 18. Let's read slowly together. I want to go. Being then made free from sin, you have become. You become, right? The servant of. Say, I'm a servant of righteousness. Say, it's easy here.
Yeah.
Say, I don't pray for grace to preach the gospel. Say, I don't pray for grace to maintain a sane company. Say, I can. That's the point. It's not,
Pastor, I know what you're saying is nice, but, I love that guy. You're not serious. You're not born again. Amen.
You can. A believer can do God's will. See, I can. So now see back verse 19 to tell you that this is not a perfect communication pattern, which I've taught you before in this place. I speak after the manner of men. That means, although I ought not to be telling you again to give yourself to righteousness, but let me now speak after the manner of men. Because of what? The infirmity of your flesh. That means because of your carnality, your understanding. You are still baby. You are still scoring 22 in exam. Because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness and unto what? Holiness. So that is to speak what? After how? That is to speak after how? What is the manner of man? To talk to him, not as unto spiritual, but as what? Babes in Christ, right? So if I'm saying, Statola, give yourself to ministry. I'm doing shaking in. That means, I know that she's what? Empathetic, right? That means, I'm speaking to her after the manner of men. Who knows empathetic? Sorry, forget that. Amen? So, but what is the perfect communication you can do God's will? It's not, I'm not begging. I'm not telling you to yield yourself. You have yielded yourself. Hallelujah. Say, I have yielded myself to righteousness. Say, it's easy, yeah. Don't pray for grace, though. Yeah, but I hear Hilary's praying when they say, guys, yes, we are going to Kebbi. Let's pray for grace. You just say, Amen. Oh, grace is already with us. Thank you. Let's read 20 now. For when you are the servant of sin, you are free from righteousness. Wow. That means now that you are the servant of righteousness, you are free from sin. Do you get that analogy? So when you are the servant of sin, you are free from righteousness. Please focus on your Bible. Look at it. Don't be distracted. But he now said, 21. What fruit are you then in those things that you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. 22 is where I'm going. Slowly, let's read together. But now, being made free from sin, you have become servant to God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I can do the will of God. Say, I can preach the gospel. Say, I can heal the sick. Say, I can conduct myself as one sent from God. Say, I have the spirit of God. Say, I don't have a nonchalant attitude towards ministry. Hallelujah. Thank you. Back to Matthew 13:22. So that indifference to the world is not our thing. That person that we beg every day to do God's will is not our thing. You are not the one we beg. You are not a beggy. No beggar can beggy, right? What do you call it now? You are not the one we beg to do God's will. In your church, how many of you, they usually pursue every time. Come to my church, you'll be running. Many of you, let me see. Feel free, come on. Confess your sins. Come for evangelism. Thank you. How many have confessed? You are forgiven. Holy water. Amen. Come for evangelism. He will pursue you. Not escaping. But prayer reads that. What will happen? Hallelujah. I mean your former church, right? You can do God's will. You don't have a nonchalant attitude. I'm the one I'll be begging, right in short, right. After 2 hours, sermon, and I see three lines. And three lines look like shorthand. 3 hours. Some people, their sermons cannot make heaven. Their sermon. Jesus cannot use it. Don't you just need a sermon in heaven? You'll be raptured with your church notes. I'll show you in the Bible. It's there. Okay, Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this word and the deceitfulness of riches struck the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The deceitfulness of riches struck the word. And what happened? And it becometh unfruitful. This is the greatest vice against saints today. When the thought of hammering is contending with your meditation, I must hammer my PhD, my PhD, my marriage, my marriage. Well, you know it, you will become a better vegetable in ministry. I must marry. I must make it. Do not make matters worse. Some churches are now built on such things. They are apart from ministry. Far from it. Peer pressure. My mate. Who is your mate? My mate. No, their look is their idol. I look mirror. 30 minutes. Sorry. That is more. So at times, write this down. We think demons will come as dark and black. No. Demons, they affect saints in form of suggestions. They will bring suggestions, deceits, distractions, and priority error. Suggestions, deceit, distractions, priority error. They choke the word. It's not possible. Like, just learn to respect Jesus. When he's saying you cannot serve God and mammon, he didn't say, well, you can try. He said you cannot. Let me go through it again. I said deceit, right? Suggestions, deceit, distractions, and priority error. They choke the word. They are the spirits of the world. They are the spirits of the world, LD. They shook the word, RD. When Jesus is saying you cannot serve God and mammon, he knows what he is saying. Hebrews 11:13. See, in your pursuit in worldly things, you must be different. It must be clear to all around you that you are different. That you are not running to the same level of excesses. You just heard that, can we do anybody that wants to do additional time? I could do overtime in office for 2K every day. When they finish saying it, you have raised up your hand. Don't worry. That's what we understand. We must mama survive. We must put food on the table. It's what man is, the man we used to fly. I'm sorry, the bed. So you're a bed, Abby. Very bad, Jay. Sad. Sorry, see Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, or having seen them afar off, and what were persuaded of them, and embraced them. What's the next thing? And confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. No, I know we don't like the scriptures. You want to say, this word is my own. Truly, this word is not your own, guys. Amen. Your duty to the world is to preach and teach. See, 14. For they that say such things declare plainly. Say, declare plainly. Amen. Say, not declare stylishly. Amen. Say, declaring plainly. Amen. That they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So, there are some things that you have been delivered from. You must not be mindful of it. That peer pressure, that performance mindset, that mindset to just impress people, I must impress people, I must do, you have been delivered from that mindset. So, you must not be mindful of where you have left. 16. Because if you say, if you are still mindful of where you are coming from, you will have an opportunity to return. 16, but now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. Go back to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 10. So, priority error is idolatry. Priority error is idolatry. Firstly, we have a world system that is not designed for you to serve God. By the time your heart now so much flow with that system, by the time you are, your mind, you have intermingled so much with that system, and you now start giving excuse for your in Christ responsibility, you are into idolatry. That is serving things. Priority error is idolatry. Priority error is idolatry. Watch it. 10 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 6. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let me show you something. Go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. To have a greater desire. A desire greater than God's word. It's idolatry. It's clear idolatry. Wash it. Run away from it. Wash it. Run away from it. A greater desire from God's word is idolatry. Wash it. Run away from it. Not even in Christ is marriage, marital relationship, greater than ministry relationship. I know you have heard from where you have been coming from that, don't worry, if your pastors give you an instruction and your husband gives you a contrary one, who should you follow? Follow your husband, because he is your real man of God. Scripture and verse. Thomas chapter 62 verse 103. You find it there. Well, somebody is here. Nobody is interested in your life. In your mind, you know me. I'm not even. I have my way. I will not. But the truth is, when the time a pastor is in the name of, you don't want to say things. You are just saying, do your own. The man of God himself will not be serving God. As a cage, I found myself. So there is no relationship that supersedes ministry. Not one. As I even say in 1 Corinthians, I say the time is coming that even the married will be living as though what? They are not married. Why? When responsibilities is there, so you will know how far. Amen. Don't write this down, but family planning is of the Lord. Selah! Yes, but my portfolio is that they serve the Lord. How do you send a woman that is always 6 months pregnant every 2 years for the next 10 years? How do you send that to Kebbi State to preach? Sorry, as you wish. Psalm 78. Verse 8. Because God will not ask you in heaven, how many children do you have? Nope. So, don't kid yourself in things. So, if you are there, you have a serious Yoruba brother that is asking you out. Before the marriage, tell him, let's agree. How many are we going for? If we are 16... Amen. Just tell him that, yes, I agree. If the 16 can come at once. Amen. Praise God. Forget that. Okay. So, Oh God. Psalm 78. Forget that. I might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and that their high God, their redeemer. 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouths and they lied unto him with their hearts. Let's read verse 37. For their heart was not right with him. Now were they steadfast in his conversion. Okay, no worry. Now go to 1 John. I'm going to approach this 1 John awesomely again very soon. 1 John 5, 21. Yes, slowly. Want to go? Little children, keep yourself from what? Idols. Say, keep yourself.
Keep yourself.
So it means you can keep yourself. This is not your salvation. Right? No, your salvation is in verse, is that verse 18 or 19? Have you seen it? Is it verse 18, right? Okay, let's read it together. Want to go? That 18. How many of you have keepeth himself? Let me see. And KJV. Who has God keepeth? Who has God keepeth? Which version is that? Sir? Your Sir? Your Bible. Okay, this word, right? It has, there's a version. It's not a version that's in the Bible. I mean, can't be a KJV. ZNKJV? Plus. Ah. Hallelujah. You have keep it. That's what you have now. Who has himself keep it? Which one do you have? Yes. Hallelujah. So actually it's a twisting error in KJV. It's not God keep, it's not anybody that is born of God. Keep saying that is totally wrong. You just imagine you born a child and say, child, now upon you, go. 6 months, no, a day old baby, go and keep yourself. So whoever is born of God, God keep it. So that one is your what? Salvation. But this verse 21 is your sanity. In Christ, sanity. Amen. Say, maintaining, you are in Christ, sanity. How do you maintain it? Keep yourself from idols. Amen. Amen. Oh.
Amen.
Glory, glory. So, there are differences. In salvation, God keeps you, but in steadfastness, in faith, you have a responsibility. You can do it. Say, I can do it. That is not legalism. Say, I can do it. God is spirit of God. When he's saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, he doesn't say, for God is working where? At work in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. E.g., I taught you, this is the last one, when he was saying, God will not suffer you to be tempted more than you are able. Have I explained before? Have I explained this? How will God not allow you to be tempted more than you are able? Maybe he's still in this topic, maybe I've not taught it. Have I said this? It's your makeup. Your makeup is stronger than any temptation. That is how God will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able. That is in 1 Corinthians 10. I think it's somewhere in this place. We get to it later. Okay, go to Numbers 14. So, when he's saying keep yourself from idols, from false doctrines, from appetites, and from the flesh. Write that down. False doctrines, appetites, then the flesh. Keep yourself from them. Please, I beg you again, don't miss Friday. Don't miss, especially those of you that will be traveling very soon. May your by Larry, of course, I know you know him. Where will you go? I will finish you. Don't miss this weekend. Don't miss Friday. I have a lot to, even things of the street is coming, a lot of things are coming. Saturday, if I don't teach you 7 sermons, my name is not me. Amen. If I don't get to 7, I'm starting by Prophet Shamba will come and I will see him not. By the power of God. Honestly, I'm done with the sermon. Amen. Okay. So what are the idols there? False doctrines, right? Don't forget false doctrines. They are sweet, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Father Abraham, amen. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Ah. Some blessed. No. You say, what of in the noon, eh? What of in the midnight? False doctrines. They're very sweet. They're idols. Some people, oh God. Remember, we are marking a script today and we saw a lady in Christ. Say she has sold her shoe in church. She has sold her iPhone. Three phone. Amen. You know the lady, right? The Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. She has sold this, sold that. You know what I wrote there? I said, thank God it did not work. Because if it works, idolatry. There is nothing you will be able to tell. Say, don't worry, it didn't work. Amen. That's good. That become professional sowers. You don't hear someone. Hey, Simon! Yay! Off your shoe! Pastor, take! Yay! Yeah, go for me. I give you none. I'm not giving you this one. Just hear someone. I think we just, oh God. Thank God. People will come to church with their car. Go on with a bike. Say, God will do it. God will do it. Next day, when the emoji knows that you are not here coming to church with a car, what will he say? Do it, tarry. Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. By the end of the year, when did your snow come? You now say, without faith, it is impossible. Why didn't you tell him that initially? On the day of the sermon, you won't tell him about faith. It's not fair. I think he has sold something before. Sir Grace, have you sold your attachment? Amen. To Pastor Joy. If you sold one in 48 hours, all your stocks will be exhausted. So, if you sit close in this church, amen. There's somebody by my left hand. And someone on the right too. It's not fair. Here's the point, eh? When 1,000 people, you call them out to sow seed, when the testimonies are coming, you now call 5 testimonies. What of the 995? It's not fair. If it is God, what should happen? If it is not like this, that means the church is a fallacy. Because everything we are saying is true. If somebody confesses Jesus, if you say he's saved, what happened? He's saved. Why? He has confessed. He has believed. So by the time we now have some things in the church, I will say, but this one, it is probability. That is Lotto Nigeria. Best Nigeria. Amen. Saint George, we mind our business. for me to that same money, tell him, give your neighbor this. You grumbling. That means the pastor is the one sowing a seed of covetousness in your heart. Instead of you to teach love, what are you teaching? Covetousness. Teach giving. Sowing. Philippians 4 verse 9. How will God supply your niche? According to his riches in glory. Where is the riches of God in glory? Which bank? Saints. That means the same way you have blessed me, he's saying in the time of your own scarcity, saints too will bless you. Some people will not be expecting us to write long exegies. You are not serious. You will not see it from me. I'm not ready for stuff yet. See, I'm confused. You are not confused. You are covetous. Even nature teaches us. Even if you have some nice Yoruba proverbs in Yoruba, there's I don't know if I say this. I know you can understand. Mura si share your remi, sharing. Like I'm saying, even in our culture, we have poems that teaches diligence. That is saying, in case Sister Grace, what do you help us now? He's saying. He's even saying, even if your father is a billionaire, your mother is a trillionaire, if you are focusing on them, poverty can say catch up with you. Say, focus on your work. Amen. Numbers, come on, let's finish. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. So don't allow covetousness, it's idolatry. It will make the world unfruitful. Don't be brought under the power of these things. Don't be. Numbers 14 verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. 2. And all the children murmured against Moses, against Aaron, and all the old congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in the wilderness, whether wherefore God brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Imagine. You are more worried about your security than God. Let's read verse 6 together. Verse 4, yes. And they said one to another, let us what? Make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Guys, if you follow that story, did they return to Egypt? Did they go back?
No.
They go back? But check Acts 7. Check Acts 7. 39. They didn't go back physically. But did they return? Yes, they returned. Acts 7:39. Please open. Please help me. Open. To whom our fathers will not obey. Are you there? But trust him from them. That is talking about the word of Christ. So, okay? And in their hearts, turn back again into where? So although they didn't go back physically, but God said they went back. Because don't forget the gospel message. You know, hope you remember it's not about Canaan or Egypt. Eh? It's about faith, right? So in their hearts. See, if your heart is not in all this we are doing, you cannot go far. You may try membership training. Maybe even try workers in training. If your heart is not there, you will not go far. When the floods come, when the winds blow, you won't be found standing if your heart is not there. If the reason why you are still doing all this is because of pressure or just expectation, if your heart is not there, you won't go far. When bills increase, when audience becomes hostile, when you now have bills to pay, you have children, if your heart is not here, you won't go far. If suddenly there is no money to buy fuel, or there's no car to come to church, if your heart is not there, you won't go far. You will pull back. in the house, they went back. See, you can be close to the doctrine and your mind is not here. That's the only truth. You can be so close, yet your mind, you don't appreciate it. You don't value it. Your own value is, as you are here now, your passion is still that, that type of redemption camp, big stuff, auditorium, wow, awesome. That is your hidden love. Let your heart be here. Matthew 13:23. For he that received the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Last scripture today, James 4:4. James 4:4-5. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? I've explained this before. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. I say, can the saint be an enemy of God? Yes, but where? In his mind, in his relationship, in his thinking, in his meditation, in his pursuit, in his priority. Write anyone you can remember. In his pursuit, in his priority, in his mind, in his relationship, in his friendship, in his in his conversation, a saint can yet be an enemy of God. See, you can do this ministry. Verse 5 now says, Do you think that the scripture saith in vain that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Amen, amen. So I beg you, stop having intercourse with the world in your thinking. In your actions, you have been made different. Yeah? Stop having that intercourse with the world. Don't mingle your head. Don't cage your thinking with the same things they cage their head doing. In your thinking, your actions, you have been made different. You are from above. You can't spend your days on game. You can't spend your days on that. Making money cannot be all your thinking. It won't make you different from others out there. Making money cannot be all you think about. Stop having that intercourse with the world. You cannot spend all your time on movies. It's not everyone that I call you for best day that you go for. Except anybody that's gone today anyway. Praise God. From fear. No. See, the man that likes you is not the one that said, let me carry you out. You must lose taste for that word. Let me take you out. Lose taste for that word. Come, let us come and pray. Yes. Value that. Come, let's hear God's word. Let me say, come, let's go and preach. Yes, value that. Some ladies, after you have told them everything, they're saying, no, just say, let me take you out. Oh. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Take off immoral friends. Take them off. Looseness, carnalities. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Take off distractions. Take off time wasters. Take off immoral friends. Take off looseness, carnalities. Take them off. Hallelujah. Rocking. Take them off. Take them off. Looseness. People who don't have this, of course, let me keep reminding you every time that you should never take a ministry related advice from someone who is not in ministry. Never. Please, guys, I want us to go far for God. Okay? I want us to go far for God. Let's do His will together. Like I shared with you this morning, I love all of you to be on the same page with me in this. If you are on the same page with me, that mission, it will be achievable. And so those who are close to me, who are a bit closer to me, have told you that if I know my timetable, immediately it seems like people around me are not receiving what I'm giving, I know I'll be pulled out. I will go to where I'll be received. Because this is the only way I know to do ministry. Amen, amen. Praise God. I will teach something on discipleship. I think let me put that here on Sunday. For those people that don't come from this, let me put that on Sunday. You know, people think Sunday should be all be for things of the Spirit, eternal salvation. You change it now. If you're doing that one on weekday, the real one, you put it on Sunday. Hallelujah. You are a believer for Christ's sake. Hallelujah. So, like, this is not church as usual. This is not church once in a week. These are men on a mission. Hallelujah. These are men going somewhere. I can be praying in tongues every day. Attend the church at the back of my house. If they beat talking drum for you, you forget your salvation. I'll be fine and God will be happy. But if you say, let's come together, well, let's do it, amen? How many of you have read God's Generous here? Glory, glory. When you read those stories, you desire those days. All you need to pass those days is a company like this. Is consistency like this. Hallelujah. Is that we all team up together. No strife, no malice, no rivalry. Unhealthy rivalry. There must be rivalry, but no unhealthy rivalry. Because the Bible says you must motivate yourself in love and in good works. Together we can do this. Amen. And trust me, we are not ready to start what we end. That thing I posted on the group today is not fun. When a lady, somebody that some churches are still calling weaker vessel, when she can put her hand down and say she's explaining Jesus and she's writing 128 pages. Of course, she's not the only one. She's not the only one I counted. Of in Christ's explanation. That means we are building men that even if I'm not here today, nobody will feel my absence. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. Where did we get these sermons from? This brings dividing words. It was simply from inside exam. I saw Pastor Joy's detailed explanation. We are preaching this. And that series has been classic so far. And we are still going to continue. Let's do this together. But the world, that ministry will not help. It will not. Once all these things, cares of the world, friendship is caging your mind. The world is not, it will not get there. It will not be able to make profit in us. Guys, help this man in front. I beg you, help me. This is the only way I see ministry ought to be done. Men disciples for Christ. Men having that singular priority. You know, all of them work like all my ministers. Every single of them, heavily busy. Heavily. Like, I can say they are more busy than many of us. But priority. Priority. I've not heard any of them tell me before that, Pastor, I'm not coming to you. No TTA, no priority. If it's to enter trailer, they will enter. To trek, they will trek. Priority. Let's do it for God. Shun the precious. Shun the allures. Appetites are not eternal. Meat for the belly for meat. What will happen? When we say some of us should fast by on Friday, is the fasting is not over now? But if you didn't partake, what you have not done, you have not done. Like on Friday, you have another fasting. You fast. course, compassion for workers in training membership. Oh. Compassion, Richard, every of you. Fast again. Fast. We come again, we pray. We are men on a purpose. Hallelujah. And the party of today, I'm coming to that one by Saturday or Friday. I say, don't know when. Or Sunday. Or everything. See my body? See my body? Belongs to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Be on your feet. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Sensual friends are not yours to keep. Immoral friends should be far from you. Don't enjoy their jokes. Don't enjoy it. Some people, they are status objects. Go and mute it. You don't need them in your life. To this end, you can block some people off your life. To this end, some people always visit you and you have to put the gospel to them. They are not hearing. Take them off. I beg you. Take them off. A godly company is yours for ministry. A godly company is yours. Influence is real. Influence is real. Don't be caught, brethren. Don't be caught. Don't be caught. Influence is real. Influence is real. Some numbers are on your phone that you ought to block. Block them. Influence is real. Some associations will not make you better. Stop keeping them. We are men on a mission. We must be focused. We must be focused. We must be focused. We must be focused. Thoughts of amory, thoughts of making it, must not overtake ministry in your heart. Be focused. Be focused. Oh, brethren, we must be focused. We must be focused. We must be focused. We must be focused. Distractions, sources of distraction, take them off. Take them off. Take them off. Take them off. It's not every hanging out that you should honor. Pursuit of money. Money. Nothing else in the Bible was God compared with. But mammon, that pursuit is of the heart. It makes the word of God unfruitful.